Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I'm talking with Peret Shapiro. He is the non-exec chairman of Munger Gold. ASX code is MMG. Now, the last time I spoke with Peret was on the day that they listed in July last year. The very day that they listed, he and I had a conversation. They had three projects over in Coolgardie and Kalgoorlie in WA. But I've asked Peret to come on today because he's over in the US and they've picked up a lithium project. Now, this one's in Nevada. I want to find out what's the reasoning behind this. What's the value proposition for shareholders? Because that, at the end of the day, is what we all want to know. So, Peret Shapiro, welcome back to Small Caps. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you again as well. Lovely to be here.
Some people may not have seen our little chat from July of last year. So brief overview of who is Munger Gold, and then I want to get into the acquisition of the Scotty Lithium.
Sure. So Munger Gold, as you mentioned, we listed in July of last year. We essentially a spin-off out of Taurian Resources. It's kind of three projects, as you said, in nearby to Kalgoorlie and Coolgardie in WA. Projects who are highly prospective for gold, nickel, and copper and other base metals. Since then, we've been actively exploring those projects and have had some pretty exciting results over that period.
All right. So those are ongoing. So there's drilling and results coming out for those. But we don't have a lot of time to focus on everything. So let's focus on this recent acquisition. And Peret, it took me a little bit by surprise because, quite frankly, there's a lot of companies out there going, we've got lithium, we've got lithium. And then I saw Munger Gold, we've got lithium. Why?
Yeah. Why? Because if you roll the tape and go back to our original discussion back on the day that we listed, I would have reiterated a number of times that the benefits of our very, very tight capital structure of having only 28 million shares on issue. And the idea behind that is that when you keep a very tight capital structure, you keep your cash burn low, you're able to get significant leverage on future results and on future transactions. And when this project came our way, we recognized the prospectivity of it, we recognized the opportunity of it, and it was we believed at the time, whilst we were negotiating the deal, and then following the conclusion, we believed that this project had the ability to increase value for our shareholders. Ultimately, our responsibility as directors of public companies is to return for shareholders, is a higher share price. That is what our investors want. The question I have to ask myself, and as a board, we think, is this project, that should we do a deal on this project, will it return a higher share price for our shareholders in the short, medium, and long term? And after analysis and working through a deal and a structure which we felt the answer was yes. The market obviously agreed. We opened up more than 100% up on announcing the acquisition. We've since retraced a little bit since then. Overall, market conditions haven't been fantastic, as everybody knows, but we're holding up quite nicely. And we believe that having this tight capital structure enabled us to do this deal, which then enabled us to deliver returns for shareholders. So yes, that's the reason why.
Okay, so that's the reason why. As I say, there's a lot of companies with lithium. Why this particular project? Talk to me about what attracted you to the project and what it's going to deliver for you.
Sure. So look, if we think about the lithium market, it's obviously quite hot at the moment, has been for some time, and it doesn't show signs of abating significantly. Reason is quite obvious. There's an incredible thirst for lithium batteries, particularly for electric vehicles. I know in America, I saw a report recently that Ford has actually stopped taking orders for their electric cars because they just can't make them fast enough. They actually can't get them parts. So this is not going away, particularly with high oil prices, or in America, as I say, the high gas prices. People, if they can afford it, are trying to trying to purchase electric vehicles. That is the future. Many countries are legislating that. So if you're going to be in lithium and you want to be, which is a critical part of the electric vehicle supply chain, in my opinion, you want to be where the electric vehicles are manufactured as part of that supply chain. The United States or Canada or North America, that is where you want to have a lithium project. You know, lithium projects in Australia is great. We don't build cars in Australia. So you need to add on to your cost. You're going to have to send that lithium somewhere overseas. You're going to send it to Asia. You're going to send it to the United States. Having a project in the United States, that's where you'd want to be from a supply chain perspective. So that's number one, North America in general. Within North America, you could potentially have a lithium mine in California, but you're probably never going to mine that in the Californian jurisdiction, or it will be very, very difficult. Just over the border in Nevada, however, it's rated the number one mining jurisdiction in the world for mining investment. So that'll add another level of attractiveness. You've got North America, and then within North America, you're in the state of Nevada, which is a very attractive and mining-friendly jurisdiction. Then within Nevada, you don't want to just peg some moose pasture. You're looking for a project that has prospectivity. So the particular project that we have, that we're looking to acquire, which the acquisition will be finalized at our shareholders meeting later this month, sits immediately alongside and neighbors a company called Iconic Minerals. They have a 3.5 billion ton lithium deposit. Now the geology is identical to mudflats. It's an identical geology, and it also sits along strike of their deposit as well. So does that mean there's lithium there? Definitely no, but there's very, very good indications for an early stage project. Furthermore, there have been historical soil sampling done at the project, at the Scotty Lithium project, and that's returned grades of up to 300 ppm, which is very similar to the grades returned by Albemarle, which is the only lithium mine in the United States. That's only 70 kilometers away. So from that perspective, if you're asking why this particular project, location, and the prospectivity of it.
So who owned it before and how did you get your hands on it? Because if it is a good project, why would they want to let it go?
Well, they're not letting it go. The private vendors that owned it before, ultimately, if those vendors are going to extract value out of the project, they're going to get that through a listed vehicle. So by vending the project into Taurian, they're going to maintain or keep a stake in the company. They've also put money into the company as part of this acquisition. By keeping a stake in the company initially, and then a real back-ended deal where subject to their being a significant resource of up to 500 million tons at 1,000 ppm, that's when a performance hurdle will be met and will issue a number of more shares to those vendors, and it's significantly back-ended. That's where they're going to get value out of the project. They haven't just flipped it or sold it on, but actually partnering with the company moving forward. They're a team with in-country experience as well. So whether it's contractors or drillers, et cetera, we have access to all of that as well.
So they will stay very much involved there. Is it a fully script deal that you're doing with them?
Fully script, yeah. The only cash was a small repayment of a loan, and they've put in $1.75 million into the company as part of the acquisition through a placement.
What's the next steps then for you? You talked about a shareholder vote later this month, and you feel fairly confident that that's not going to be an issue going forward. But what then? How do you? Yeah. What are the next steps?
Yeah. So following that, well, we've already today negotiating contracts for soil sampling to really go through the entirety of that project, and then to subject to results. And we have no reason to at this stage assume the results will be negative across the entirety of the project, just based on the historical results, which have been pretty good in the past. We will then be drilling to delineate a resource. That's the goal for that project. And we anticipate, hopefully, things moving according to plan, that we could have a resource by the end of this year, early next year.
That's moving fairly fast, isn't it? Did you say it's not far from Albemarle?
Correct, 70 kilometres from Albemarle. Yep, and 300 kilometres from Tesla's Gigafactory.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Because Tesla have been saying we don't have enough. And in fact, Elon Musk was saying he's going to be buying up the, you know, he wants to mine it himself rather than go through a supplier, which is interesting.
Makes sense. But it makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, you know, be your own supplier, you'll get better pricing and you have more control over supply. So yeah, makes sense for him to do that. Now, I don't think they get into the exploration game, too much risk there. They'll let companies like us do the exploration. And then I'd imagine that then they would look at the most prospective mines, you know, whether they've gone through scoping studies or PFS or whatever it is. And then location will be a big will make a big difference as well. Like that, you know, they're not probably not going to look at a lithium mine thousands of kilometers away from their closest factory, right? They're going to look at the ones within the vicinity, considering transport costs, etc.
Absolutely. So what are you going to be doing over the next few months? We've got enough cash to be starting to do this soil sampling and to get underway with the project.
Yeah, so we've got just under $5 million of cash now post this placement as well. So you mentioned it is a fast timeline. Lithium is not a difficult commodity. It's not a difficult mineral to prove up a resource. It's quite typically quite continuous, unlike gold, which could be a little bit nuggety, you know, pinch and swells, etc. Lithium, is generally a lot more continuous. So you don't need as many holes as you would, for example, for gold to be able to prove up a resource. So therefore, we were confident that soil sampling followed by drilling, we should be able to get a resource, not necessarily our final resource, but subject to things going well, we should be able to get a resource end of this year, early next, hopefully.
So plenty of funds to do that. Are you talking with Albemarle to find out what they would do? Are you sharing any information with them, or is it very much separate at the moment?
Well, very early stage at the moment, obviously. We just completed the transaction last week. But, I mean, like any business, they're your competitors, but they could also be very helpful, right? You want to know what's going on in your industry. So whether it's Albemarle, whether it's Iconic, it's next door, whether that's Arizona Lithium, which is not too far away, they're just south of the border, and they've got a similar type of geology as well, or also I should say a clay lithium deposit as well down there. So you know, there are a number of companies in the region, and you know, we'd like to work collaboratively as an industry. While obviously there's competitiveness. And yeah, I think everybody grows from that.
Is technology going to help you to understand the geology of this? Are you going to be using technology to get yourself quicker to understand how big this project is?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be silly not to, right? You're just shooting yourself in the foot. So yeah, obviously we would be looking for all the tools that we would have at our disposal to be able to understand the geology and to achieve, which is our goal, a significant resource. That's our stated goal. That's also the stated goal of the vendors as well. That's where their upside is too. So we're very aligned in that, and our shareholders want that as well. Of course, if we can get a resource, we'd bring value to our shareholders. Share price will probably go up at that stage. So hopefully our shareholders will make money and do well.
And still a tight share structure, but given the fact that this is a focus now, what's happening with your projects in Australia?
Sure. I'd say it's binary focus at the moment. So we're still very much working on our Australian projects. We've had some really some phenomenal gold results in our projects at Monga North in particular, at the Providence Prospect, and we hit over 190 grams per ton in one hole of gold. So some really, really encouraging results. We're anticipating a nice little resource over the next few weeks. So we've announced that recently. Hopefully that comes through. And then that particular gold system still remains open even post the resource. So we'll continue to look at expanding that. We've got some other gold targets to follow up, where we've hit some gold as well. And then we're also doing some we're partnering with CSIRO on a new ultra fine soil sampling technique to understand some of our other projects that we have. So there's a lot of activity going then. And the good thing about it is, because we don't just have the one project, there are multiple catalysts at Monga for shareholders to look forward to. And I think that's always something you look to when you're investing, is where are the catalysts? What are the potential points, inflection points that the company might have moving forward? And I think we're able to provide a lot of that.
Is Taurian still what percentage of the company does Taurian still hold?
So post, let's work out the numbers post acquisition, but pre acquisition, it's 10.7%. It's 3 million shares. So post acquisition, there will be about 42 million shares on issue. There'll be 43 million shares on issue, I should say. So 3 into 43, what is that? Quick back of the envelope, that gives you about 7%, 7.5%, something like that.
Well, 7.
So that will be Taurian's holding. Taurian shares are actually escrowed until July of next year. So those shares are still as vendor stock, as not at an IPO. The ASX will typically ensure that those are escrowed for a while. So Taurian still has a significant holding there.
Peretz, when I spoke to you in July last year, you were very focused on the fact that this was a tight capital structure. So you'd like to continue to keep that, because you said in the past that this is where you can get value and for shareholders going forward. Why is that so important to you?
Well, think about it. I mean, if you have 28 million shares on issue and you bring in, $20 million worth of value, if your 28 million shares on issue are at 20 cents and you bring in $20 million worth of value, then your share price goes up about three times, right? If you have 50 million shares on issue or 100 million shares on issue at 20 cents and you bring in $10 million worth of value, your share price does not go up as much. Yeah. That's just the reality of how market caps work. So,
but that's important to you. That's important to you, isn't it, to keep that tight structure?
Of course, because that is where shareholders are going to see returns. If you keep printing millions and millions and millions and hundreds of millions of shares, then sometimes you have to. You've got to do that. You've got to stay. The company's got to stay alive. The company needs to raise money to continue. And of course, as an exploration company, we don't anticipate revenue anytime soon. So there will be raising down the track. You hope that those raises will be at higher prices and therefore less dilutive. And therefore, as the company grows, obviously the share price grows with that. It's important to me because it's what's important to the shareholders. Ultimately, as I said earlier, as a director, you need to bring value to your shareholders through share price acquisition, through share price growth. That's what your shareholder appreciation, share price appreciation. That's what your shareholders care about. Yeah. Now, I don't want to watch the screen every single day. That's probably not healthy for a director to do. But I know the shareholders do. They watch it often.
Although I haven't been watching lately.
Yeah, it's probably healthier that way. But yeah, shareholders are going to, they want capital, they want appreciation of the share price. And the best way to do that is by having as few shares on issue as possible, while still ensuring the company has enough money to operate and sustain itself and grow. So that's the balance you've got to do. And that's my job. That's what I need to do.
I love hearing that from you, Peretz, because I know that's your focus is always about shareholder and shareholder value. So we're running out of time at the moment. What I want to find out, if we can wrap this up in a nice little bow and give our community an understanding of three reasons why right now is a good time to be sitting up and taking a notice of Munga Gold, because I know it's lithium, but it's also gold, one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah. Okay. Three reasons. Number one, as I said earlier, the project location that we have, USA, Nevada, sitting next to some other majors and some other large deposits. The prospectivity of the project. So it's not just, it happens to be, potential for lithium. It's got really significant prospectivity as much as an early stage project could have. And then the third, I think, is the most important. Is we deliver. Roll the tape. The way that I spoke with you when we listed is that I said we are going to keep a tight structure, keep our cash burn low, and seek to deliver accretive acquisitions or accretive results for our shareholders. And we've been able to deliver that. So, and we intend to continue to deliver moving forward into the future.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear it in his voice. You can hear the passion that he has. It's not just about directors and what they're doing. He's very keen on making sure that shareholder value and growing the company in very sensible ways. So the Scottie Lithium Project is the latest acquisition, as Peretz just said, over there in Nevada, and not very far away from the Tesla Gigafactory, which is pretty interesting, and close by Albemarle. So lots of news flow to come in the coming months. We'll get Peretz back on after they start doing the soil sampling, see what this is going to uncover. But congratulations on the acquisition. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thank you.